Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Really good to be talking to you before the first, which is a holiday. Lots to talk about this afternoon, Sarah.
Yes, maybe one day you can organize a debate between me and Louis Karpus about kneeling to protest anything. As you can imagine, my views on it are not as generous as as his.
It does change things somewhat when we hear that Quentin de Kock does in fact have a, I didn't quite grasp it exactly, but a mixed race mother or a black grandmother. It changes the issue somewhat, doesn't it?
Yes, he's got a black stepmother, and his half sisters are, well, I suppose colored for want of a better word, mixed race, because his father would be white and his stepmother would be black. Yeah. But you see, what it does, and before we get it on to the first, Eusebius Mackayza did it, and it annoys me to my back teeth. It basically says that the fact that he's in a mixed race family doesn't mean he's not a racist. I mean, you know, you know, you can turn that around the other way as well. And that's the problem with this debate, is if the mob, and I do call it the mob, if the BLM mob has decided that you have infringed the holy word, there's no coming back. You cannot actually be forgiven. But that's for another day.
That is for another day, and it's a super important issue that if it weren't for the elections on Monday, we probably would be discussing today. But I'm sorry, I do have to have you talk about the elections, because just how important are they?
I think these elections are important both politically as well as literally, and in the sense that politically, I think they're really going to be a test for the ruling party, as they should be, because service delivery and the fact that service delivery has become across the country an issue of major dismay means that the ruling party has failed the citizenry at the areas in which it affects people most directly. And most directly is where they live, how they live, what services they get to live, and the extent to which any services they've had degrade, so that everyone's sort of moving in the same collapsing direction. And in that respect, I think it's terribly important. I mean, you can tell in a way how important it was, that absurd display last night, when Jesse Duarte demanded, on behalf of the ANC, demanded answers from Eskom. I mean, you know you've hit a real low when you have to blame yourself for what you've done.
That was particularly amusing, because Julius Malema was saying something directly contradictory. There was the ANC saying that Eskom is out to sabotage them. Malema saying no, it was the ANC. I mean, it's just it's insane.
No, what essentially happened is, given the importance of the situation, given the fact that the date of the election was not pushed forward to a later date, and given the fact that so the ANC didn't have quite the control of the narrative, and then load shedding, and it was almost biblical in its dimensions, because people go into and you got it from some of the informal polling that we did. Now, as you say, informal, the word wasn't based on any sort of scientific method. You could tell by people's responses was, well, that's it. I am voting in this election. And by implication, they are not voting for the ANC. And that's because, I don't think people have always necessarily adequately explained how appalling the situation is, where you can corrupt and manipulate the state to the point where the people who are supposed to be the beneficiaries of the government are so utterly sort of abandoned. I can't think of a better way of putting it.
I hear you.
And they're abandoned not because of outside forces, and not, it was abandoned in the simple sense of things, because of carded deployment, because of corruption, because of BE, that combination of factors, things that didn't have to go wrong have gone wrong to the point of being virtually unsolvable. Eskom is obviously the one example. But I had, on my Chayefem program earlier this week, I had Anthony Turton on, and I was just asking about how water at the municipal level works. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it is as simple as, it's literally the sort of municipal equivalent of unblocking your drain. So it's that sort of maintenance that has caused so much to go wrong, or the failure to do it, more to the point. And I think for this election, this really is what this election is about. It's things in a way absolutely coming home to roost at the most fundamental level.
So it is kind of ironic that the ruling party is showing such incredible contempt for its own electoral base, because that's really what is happening.
Absolutely.
Here. And yet
Absolutely.
What astounds me is I went on a business trip on Thursday, Friday last week. I was with some really heavy hitting black colleagues, and these were super senior mm-hmm. people in the corporate world. And I just observed the conversations that were happening between them, and I just stepped out of it on purpose. I didn't think it was my place. They're not changing their votes. They're not changing their votes. They say they understand everything that's going on. They get it. This was the party that bought them liberation. They're not changing the vote. Who else is there to vote for? So I think the big surprise is there's going to be no surprise.
Yeah. No, look, I think the very fact that we're talking about will the ANC slip below 50% instead of will they slip below 20% is exactly indicative of that. And the problem is that people, particularly, I imagine, at the level you're talking about, should know better than to say that they brought them liberation. It was nowhere was it the ANC's gift to give. It was a whole amalgam of factors. But the mythology has been very successfully spun out. It's almost like a religious affiliation.
Yeah.
And political parties do bring that up in people. I mean, it happens overseas as well. But the consequences for us to have the people, I mean, they can't correct. The ANC cannot correct. It's built into its DNA at this point. It needs new blood. Whoever that new blood may be, it's got to have somebody, some entity that's new coming in and saying, right, let's do things differently. Because the problem with the ANC is that I'm not convinced yet that it's had anywhere near the real understanding of cause and effect. So it's going to be repeated. It's just not going to be able to climb out of the mire.
I think the one thing we will see is a lot of voters staying at home and not voting. Who will that benefit?
Correct.
Who stands to gain from that phenomenon of voters not voting?
Usually with the not voting, it is some, not necessarily all, but certain of the opposition parties, because if people are voting for the opposition, they are going to make sure that they vote for the opposition. So they're not going to stay at home. The stay at home is usually going to be highly disillusioned people, mostly from the supporters of the ruling party, and a few people who just believe that, you know, there's no point in voting at all, which is a very sad position to take, because, you know, if you don't vote, then you acquiesce to whatever you get. And also, I think there's something fundamental about having that democratic right to vote. So it usually favors some of the opposition as much as anything, but it is probably the ultimate indication of how bad things have got when people probably don't see much hope, and that's why they're not voting.
Yeah, it's a bad place to be. Sorry, Gwan, we're out of time. We're going to leave it there. You and I will have an interesting chat next week when we look at the results of what happens on Monday.
Absolutely. Or we won't be interesting if it's unsurprising.
Exactly. Thank you for talking to me. We leave it there.